Tonight we are continuing the series on the man God uses. We've been on this series for 2 weeks now. This is making it the third week. That is to say, this is part three of the man God uses. So, I'd like to have a more confrontational approach tonight, because this subject is very vital and important in our work with God. Any man who does not desire to be used by God is not okay. Any believer that does not desire to be used by God is not a believer indeed. Any vessel that calls upon the name of Jesus must desire to be used by God. In the past series, we have stressed upon so many vital items that if you have not been following, I will advise you go back and listen to the past series on the man God uses. Because if you do desire God to use you in your family, in your community, in your state, in your nation, in your continent, to the ends of the earth, this truth we are emphasizing upon will be vital for you. The first contact we had, we stressed upon the secret place, the importance of the secret place for the man God will use, the importance of the secret place. Any man God will use cannot gamble with the secret place. It's important. It's as important as life itself, more important than life itself. In our second contact, we talked about compassion. That was last week. We saw that compassion is a driving force for the anointing. Are you with me? Compassion is a driver of the anointing. Anything you can't have compassion about, God cannot use you to attend to that matter. Men that broke the chains of afflictions in their families was because they were tired of the years of servitude in bondage. So, the compassion they had for their family drove them into several activities that were known to be prizes in the realm of the spirit. And by virtue of that, yokes in their family were broken. Myself is a case study. I emphasized upon something, and I told us that you know your calling through your body. Know your calling through your body. And these are truths that cannot be gambled with. So tonight we are making progress. Hallelujah. Tonight we are making progress. There is an emphasis for tonight, which is not on compassion, which is not just on the secret place, but which is on prayer. Listen, the secret place, prayer is part of the activity that takes place at the secret place. At the secret place, you don't only pray, you meditate. At the secret place, you meditate on the word of God. At the secret place, you wait on God. At the secret place, you fast. At the secret place, you pray. So, but tonight, by the special grace of God, we will emphasize upon prayer as an instrument to becoming a vessel God will use. Prayer as an instrument to become a vessel, a man or a woman God will use. When I say the man God uses, the man captures humanity, so it can be a woman or a man. You know, the Bible says God created man in his image and likeness. So the word man captured humanity, that is to say, both male and female. Hallelujah. There are many things I would like to talk about. See, of old and in our contemporary times, God has had dealings with men. And one of the things that became a driver to the hand of God, or driver of the hand of God upon their lives, was what they call prayer. If you as an individual is afraid of prayer, you'll be limited. Hear me? If you fear prayer, you'll be limited. If you hate prayer, you can be limited. Prayer is something that should be wired into our fabrics. It is something that should become a fundamental and indispensable part of our spirit culture. So, prayer is not negotiable. Tonight, I may not be searching scriptures, but I'll be making reference to scriptures by the grace of God. Let's begin with our high priest, our great high priest, Yeshua, the Lord himself. Jesus, even though he was God, knowing that he was putting on mortality, knowing that he was putting on the flesh, knowing that he was incarnated as a man, he never joked with prayer. Jesus would speak to the people, and all of a sudden he's off into a mountainside to go and pray. All of a sudden he's off into a secret place to go and pray. And thus the Lord Jesus said to us, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Even he said to us, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. If God is going to use you and you are still gambling and joking with a stable prayer life, you'll be falling into several temptations and you'll be consumed by those temptations. You see, when you fall into temptation, into a temptation, and if you yield to it, in the school of the spirit, you have to repeat that class. Hello? You have to repeat that class. Yes, there is what is called the school of the spirit. It's a place where God deals with his children. God deals with us. I was speaking to a servant of God who is an overseer of a church, a man that God has raised by his grace, and I was telling him that by the grace of God, I'm not just a man of God, I'm not just a servant of God, that I am a son. I have dealings with God. God helps me. God deals with me also. Yes. I mean, God helps me and God deals with me also. I have dealings with God. For instance, I was telling them that at a point God instructed me that I should not buy, that the first car I will use will not be bought by my hands. So because of the demands of the ministry, I bought a car. And that was not what God wanted, but because I saw I had a need of the car, so I bought it and I began to use it. All of a sudden, the engine knocked. After the engine knocked, another electrical problem happened. I had to spend almost what I used in buying that car in repairing it. And God taught me a lesson through that. And I was pleased that actually, God dealt with me. See, listen to me. One thing with rebels is that they don't like reproof from God. They don't like chastisement. One of the proof of our sonship, one of the seal of our sonship is discipline, chastisement. If God does not discipline you, if you don't submit yourself to the discipline system of God, you will be considered a rebel and you wouldn't go far with God. So after that, after God dealt with me as touching that matter, I yielded. I said, okay, Lord, I will do as you have said. I had to sell off the car and started waiting on God. Because he said, the first car I was to use should not be bought by my hands. But I saw that I needed a car for mobility in the ministry because of the demands, programs, and outreaches and all of that. But then, after God's dealing, I surrendered. Yes, that is the truth. Chastisement is one of the seal of our sonship. Have you seen a father that will not chastise his son? Have you seen a father that does not discipline his son? One of the days I went to the mountainside to pray, I took some people up to the mountain. The mountain I'm talking about is a very high place. I mean, about it is so high that it could take you 1 hour to climb. so high that it could take you 1 hour to climb. We met a preacher right there, and the preacher just began to tell us how that God does not discipline his children, how that God does not chastise his children. So I saw the spirit of lawlessness at work in that individual. And that same spirit of lawlessness is now operating within the church today to make people lawless towards God, not to take his discipline, not to follow instructions. So, but that is not my emphasis today. I see that in coming weeks, I should talk about discipline in the matters of the man God uses. So, but I will not rest. I will not pitch my tent on that sphere now of discipline. I'll continue what I'm talking about on prayer. Are we together? Are we together? So I'm talking about prayer for the man God uses. Look at Jesus. Though he was God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus needed prayer to overcome. Jesus needed prayer to survive. Jesus needed prayer for victory. Oh, Jesus. Our Lord himself needed prayer to overcome. Before he went to the cross at Gethsemane, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 5, I think this should be the scripture that we are going to look at. And from this scripture, I will run through the message. Hebrews chapter 5, join me. As the Lord helps you, search the scriptures with me. Hebrews chapter 5, we're reading from verse 5 to 7. Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 5 to 8 rather. So also Christ glorified not himself to be an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So, now God was to use the Messiah. He was to use him for a great work. We are talking about the man God uses. The Messiah, Jesus, was to be used for an assignment, which is the redemption of humankind, the salvation of mankind. So, for him to be used, there was a requisite. Now, you join with me, look at verses 7. He said, who in the days of his flesh, when you hear the days of his flesh, it means the days of his incarnation, that is the days of his humanity, the days wherein he was still putting on mortality and walking on earth as I am walking, hearing, and you also are walking now. Now he said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. You see, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying. You see the dimension the Lord prayed. Look at the kind of prayers he made. He said he offered prayers with strong crying. Those kind of groanings that when you see the person groaning, it is as though the voice is as many waters. There are left dimensions of groaning that the voice becomes like the storm. Jesus wasn't known for lukewarm prayers, my friend. Some people say when you want to pray, you just pray quietly and that's all. My friend, it's not so. Jesus groaned in prayers. He prevailed in prayers. There's what is called prevailing prayers. The prayer that says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jesus had that dimension in operation within him. Jacob prayed that night and said to the angel, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You see, there was a wrestling that night, and Jacob caught that which he needed for his destiny. And his name was transformed the same very night from Jacob to Israel. You see, that was a man God used greatly. This is the generation that seek thy face, O Jacob. Hi, this is that generation. The generation of translation. Where we are translated from darkness to light. Now, Jacob prevailed in prayers. Jesus likewise prevailed. In the days of his flesh, he offered prayers with strong crying. Prayer and supplication with strong crying. Not all this lukewarm prayer. When last did you pray and it was as though the building should collapse in your house? Sigh. Oh, no. The Lord should revive us once again. The Lord must revive us once again. When last did you pray and you it was as though your clothes was soaked inside water? I'm talking to every one of us, including myself. When last did we engage in that? We need to go back to that place of prayer. Not just prayer. Prevailing prayer, groaning, agonizing, wrestling as though you are wrestling with the immortals. Jesus offered up prayers with strong cries to him that is able to save and to deliver. Jesus is God. So if he could need the hand of the Father, how much you that is a creation with so much infirmities, how much you would pray convenient prayers, pray convenient prayers. In our churches these days, we can even barely save 10 minutes of prayer. The activity is so tight. 15 minutes of praise and thanksgiving, 30 minutes of worship. When it comes to prayer, 3 seconds prayer. Okay, now just lift up your hands. Say, Father, you repeat after me. Say, Father, I am blessed. Father, I am lifted. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the prayer. That's the generation we are in. And we are in trouble. Our generation is in trouble. I tell you the truth. We need to get out of this trouble. For the man God uses, a prayer culture is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. I remember from the days of my beginning in Abuja here, and if I'm to rent an apartment, I look for a place that is close to a field. I look for a place that is close to a prayer place or a mountain. That is one of my main requisite for getting an apartment. Some people will say they want to get an apartment that is close to the beach so that it can be seen sight and all of that. Some may want an apartment that is close to hotels where they'll be seeing people, lightnings and all that. My sincere requisite for renting an apartment is a place that has a field or somewhere I can express myself in prayers. Somewhere I can express myself in prayers. And God has been helping me according to my desires. So I go to that place evenings and have a time with God. I may not do it every day, but as much as I can, I try to do it. So that I can seclude myself. The Bible said, when Jesus will be with the multitude, he most often will sneak away and go to a quiet place to pray. Oh, Jesus. That's the man God used. The man Jesus was used so greatly by God to redeem humankind. Without him, we all would have been sentenced to eternity in hellfire. But God used him so great. Now, God used the Messiah so great. But now we find one thing in the life of the Messiah: prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. It must become something that is, it is not just a hit and run, but something that should be that should be wired into our spirit, man. Something that we find ourselves not being able to survive without doing. Prayer. Any vessel God will use will be a vessel of prayer. I tell you the truth. If you desire to be used by God, you must be a person of prayer. Because in the place of prayer, you secure so many promises of God. You engage them and you birth them into reality. He said, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Prayer is the place of bringing forth. Prayer is like the labor room where you go to bring forth. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, in the place of prevailing prayer, the tears, the groanings, the agonies, and all of that, you are prevailing, you are pressing, you are pushing, as though you are a woman that is at the point of labor and trying to deliver her child, and she's pressing and pressing and agonizing and pushing until the baby comes forth. When last did you engage in such dimensions of prayer? This is the prayer that brings forth results. Prevailing prayers. Agonizing prayers. Deep calls to the deep. Deep calling to the deep. You see, this is our lukewarm prayer. We need to sincerely repent from it. That is a truth. We must repent from convenience prayers. Lord, I thank you. Father, I bless you. Hallelujah. Amen prayer. We must repent from that. We must be able to engage God. We must be able to engage Him and stay until the baby comes forth. Have you seen a pregnant woman that runs to the labor room and stays 5 minutes and runs out immediately and say, okay, I've delivered the baby? Have you seen that? Even in your village, is that obtainable? Even the Hebrew women, it was not so. You run into the labor room, 30 minutes, she's out of the labor room. That's a lie. No woman, no matter how fast the labor is, that you will see 30 minutes, she's out of the labor room. No. Jesus said, will you not watch with me at least an hour? At least 1 hour. Oh, glory to God. Am I speaking to a people tonight? Am I speaking to a people tonight? It's a big day because it's a place of bringing forth. It's a place of bringing forth. I watched one revivalist, a man called Charles G. Finney. The converts of Charles G. Finney is like never before. The converts of that man were men that lasted. It's not like today that an evangelist goes to town and he goes to town for a crusade he did not even pray about. And he begins to preach and thinks because he has the money to rent speakers or to buy speakers and organize platforms and gather people and preaches Jesus. He thinks that is where it ends. No. Prayer work should be done at the background. And when that prayer work is done, that is what can give men a lasting experience in Christ. Charles G. Finney's converts were known to last in the faith. The people that were led to Christ in his crusades, many years after, they were still Christians. They were still carrying their Bible. They were still preaching Jesus. Not the one that came for altar call tonight. And the following night, the person was at the beer parlor drinking. Oh, Mahikarada Heskile Vatio Salajiadas. The Lord must revive us again. Charles G. Finney's converts, they stayed true and they stayed strong because he had prayer inscribed in his ministerial culture. A man known as Father Nash, another one known as Abel Clary. They were intercessors for Finney. Before Charles G. Finney will enter a city, they will go ahead of him and prevail in prayers, agonize and cry to God that is able to save. And in the course of that, God will save men. Charles G. Finney will be preaching a simple sermon. People will be crying in agony. People will be crying and repenting in mass. People will be repenting and crying. Salvation everywhere. Prayer was one thing that helped the ministry of Charles G. Finney. That's one of the men of the old. All the men of the old used by God were men of prayer. How do you desire to be used by God and you are not consistent in prayer? When I mean consistent, consistency is a principle of life. You know, in consistency, anything can become a reality to you and for you. It's not just saying I have a prayer life, but a consistent prayer life. Charles G. Finney was so consistent. He was so consistent, so his combat lasted. Back to our scripture, Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 7 again. Hebrews 5, 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Now Jesus was crying with tears. When last did you pray, and in the midst of the prayer you were crying, oh my God. When last did you pray, and in the midst of the prayer you were broken in tears, wailing, agonizing and groaning to God that is able to save? When last? When last did you cry in the place of prayer? Can you reminisce? Can you retrospect and introspect? Think upon this. Think about this. When last did you pray and you were weeping sore? When I mean deep cries to God that is able to save. But this happened to Jesus, not just in this scenario, but Jesus had this prevailing prayer culture. I see the Lord giving us the prevailing prayer life in the name of Jesus. Now, he said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared God. He was heard. His prayer was heard. His prayer was heard. His prayer was heard. The prevailing prayer pattern is the kind of prayer that God cannot deny, but God hears. Because it's a prayer that connects the soul and the spirit together. It's a prayer that connects man with God. Listen, listen. There is a principle I'd like you to know. When the Lord says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart, the Lord means what he says. So, when you want to find God in the place of prayer, it is a prayer that you pray with all your heart. Get this principle. It is a prayer that you pray with all your heart. The prayer that God hears is the prayer you pray with all your heart. Because he says, you will seek me and find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart. So, if the prayer is not with all your heart, if it is half-hearted, know that God may not hear. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, my son, my daughter, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, then, in verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. See, it's not every prayer God hearkens unto. That's just the truth. Everybody is praying, but not everybody is receiving answers. The people that receive answers are people that operate according to verse 13 of Jeremiah 29. Look at 29, Jeremiah 29 with me, verse 13. He said, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So this is the eternal principle of God for seekers. For this generation of seekers, you seek God and find him when you seek him with all your heart. The prayer God answers is the prayer that you pray with all your heart. It's not a prayer that you are praying and you are, oh, let time go fast. You are just distracted, double-minded. It's not the kind of prayer you are praying and then you are not focused. It's not a half-hearted prayer. He said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. If one of the yardsticks to know a prayer God will hear is the prayer you pray with all your heart. And if you are praying with all your heart, I tell you the truth, your body will feel it. Your spirit will feel it. Your soul will feel it. Hallelujah. If we can align with this truth, God will make us mighty vessels, I tell you. If we can align ourselves to these eternal realities, God will make us mighty vessels. The prayer that God answers is the prayer that is prayed with all your heart. When you know it's all your heart, it's the one that you lose consciousness of the activities around you. The one that you lose consciousness of events taking place around you. It's not the one you are praying and you are thinking about your journey that you want to move to somewhere. It's not the one you are praying and you are thinking about some immaterial things. The prayer God hears is a prayer you pray with all your heart. So the man God uses is the man that has a prayer culture, a prevailing prayer culture, that he prays with all his heart. With all his heart. With all his heart. Let me progress upon my point. Prayer. Prayer, 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 prayer. For the man God uses. All the verses of old, contemporary, they were men of prayer. They were men of prayer. I see God raising a people of prayer from this meeting. I see people raising a mighty, I see God raising a mighty people of prayer. I see a mighty people of prayer arising from the north, east, west, and south. Men that will go yonder and call upon God, and it will be said of him that they sought him with all their heart and they found him. You will find God. You listening to this broadcast from wherever you are in any part of the world, you will find him as you seek him. For he that seeketh findeth. He that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, the door is open. You seek him, you will find him. But please, know that for you to find him, dear seeker, know that before you find him, it must be with all, A-double-L, all your heart, not half-heartedly. So when is that season that we will go yonder, shut the room behind us, and begin to prevail? Put the phone on silent. I say, Lord, I seek you until I find you. I will not let you go until I find you. Appear, O God, and rebuild Zion. For the city lieth in desolation. The city has been bruised and ruined by the adversary. O Lord, we seek you that we may find you. That you may appear once again in Zion and have mercy upon her. Because the set time to favor her. Yea, the set time is not tomorrow. The set time is not next tomorrow. The set time to favor Zion is now, O God. Now, O God, you begin to agonize. You begin to call upon him that is mighty to save, as Isaiah saw. We will find him. We will find him. We are that generation that will find him. We will find him. And he whom we seek shall suddenly appear. We will find him. The man God uses is a man of prayer. A man of prayer. In any sphere God has called you, in life, you must engage a consistent life of prayer. You must be a man and a woman of prayer. Prayer is non-negotiable. Nobody will pray it for you. Yes, nobody will pray it for you. Where was I reading in the scriptures yesterday? And I saw, oh my Jesus, touch my head, let me remember this. I saw there that it is every man for himself. I can't explain this. When I mean every man for himself, you need to pray yourself out. You need to pray yourself out. It is good that there are some people interceding for you out there. It is good that there are some people making mention of you in prayer. But I tell you the truth, you need to engage the spirit of prayer yourself. I'm not saying that God cannot answer people's prayer for you. God does. But there are situations that you need to rest to that angel. Jacob will not call his father and say, Father, come and rest to that angel for me. Jacob rest to the angel himself. There are matters that you need to rest to. So the man God uses is a man of prayer. Is a man of prayer. There are men of old. There are men of old whom God has used in great dimensions. Are we talking of Charles Giffin and his company, which was Heber Clary and Father Nash? Are we talking of Apostle Ayo Babalola? One of the strongest apostles that have risen from Africa. Apostle Ayo Babalola. I've not seen a stronger apostle that has risen as this man in Africa. A man of prayer. A man of the mountains. A man whose life was just all about prayer. A man that disliked comfort. Yes, he disliked comfort. A man that used to live among the wilds. Live amongst the wilds. Calling upon God day and night. A man that sacrifices, that laid his life upon the altar of fasting. There were men. There are men that God has used. There are men that God has used. And if God will use us, the same principle those men operated and found him is the same principle we will operate and find him. There is no shortcuts. That is why I cry for mercy. That is why I cry for help. This man found God. This man they love prayer more than comfort. They love prayer more than their mattress. But many of us, our mattress is trashing our lives, trashing destinies. That we want to sleep away destiny. We want to sleep morning, afternoon, night. A sleeper generation. A generation of watchmen that cannot back, that love to slumber. The Lord deliver us. The Lord deliver us. Oh, Jesus. The man God uses is a man of prayer. Apostle Ayo Babalola did mighty works, and his works were done as a result of his prayer investments. His prayer investments were so mighty. His prayer investments were so much, were so great and profound, that through him, generations became blessed after him. Are we talking of, which other fathers are we talking of? There are so many of them. So many of these men that gave themselves to prayer. Are we talking of Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth, that every time he's walking on the road, he's always praying in tongues. You look at him, you think he's a madman. Always communing with divinity everywhere he goes. Praying in tongues. He's inside his house, he's praying in tongues. He's walking on the street, he's praying in tongues. He's in the bathroom, he's praying in tongues. A man that perpetually lives in the secret place. There are contemporary men today whom we have a record of their prayer life. Men like Enoch Adeboye of the Redeemed Christian Church. Men like Daniel Lukoya of Mountain of Fire. Men like Ben Siri, the host of Blessed Memory of Church of God Mission. We had a record of the prayer life of this man. And look how God used them mightily. See how God used them mightily. Then do you think God will compromise his standard for us because we are better than them? Do you think God will compromise his standard to use us greater than he used them? No, God will not. The same thing that worked for them, the same thing is what will work for us if we engage these principles. Principles are like spirits. When you engage them, you engage those spirits. And you bet the same results. You put in more, you get more results. You put in less, you get less results. The man God uses. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Look at our high priest. Jesus is our number one case study. You know one thing? Jesus functions in the office of the Christ. He is unto us as a foreigner also, that is to say, a way maker. He has gone ahead of us to prepare the way, so we are following from behind. So the path he walked on is a path we should also walk in. John the Beloved said that we may walk just as he walked. So Jesus gave it all to prayer. Even on the cross, they were crucifying the man and he was still praying. Say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. In all the pain, yet he was still praying on the cross. Before the cross, he was praying. He started his ministry. He went to the wilderness 40 days and nights praying. My God. And Jesus walked in miracles. He walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He cleansed lepers. He did mighty works. Acts 10:38 said, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. The anointing did not come because he was the Son of God. The anointing came because he engaged those elements. He engaged those eternal principles of Elohim. And the anointing came. How God anointed. God anointed him. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. You think you can deliver people who are oppressed by devils without a consistent prayer life? If you go to cast out those devils, they may end up casting you if you are not consistent with God in prayer. Jesus went about doing good, healing all, not some, all that were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Hallelujah. If we will be that generation of men God will use to deliver men who are oppressed by the devils, we must be a people of prayer. And one of the things that will engage us tonight is to have a consistent prayer contact with God. It may be 1 hour every day. A particular time we rise, we pray. After the prayer, we'll search the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures. Then we can go about our business. I tell you, in the course of those contacts with God, anointing is deposited. Anointing is deposited. Depositing, depositing, depositing. The anointing keeps growing, growing, growing. My friend, you will never grow in the anointing if you are not consistent in prayer. Yes, you can never grow in the anointing. And when you don't grow in the anointing, when you pray, when you pray for someone, for healing or deliverance, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But when you grow in that anointing, God begins to confirm your words. He begins to confirm your words with signs and wonders following. I don't know how much to say. I don't know what more to say, but I want you to remember one thing. The men of old, whom God used, they were men of prayer. The contemporary men of today, whom God is using, they are men of prayer. And the men tomorrow, whom God will use, they will be men of prayer. What about you? Are you interested? Are you interested in this great venture? Are you interested in this great assignment to be enlisted amongst those God will use? Do you desire God to use you in your sphere, in your field? You must not just be a preacher. Maybe you may be in any of the spheres of life making impact. In that place you are doing, no matter what it is, whether you are a mechanic, you need a life of prayer to excel in God. Tonight, I'd like you to rise up on your feet wherever you are. Begin to talk to Jesus. Say, Lord, there is one thing I need in my journey. And I've realized that one thing is called the spirit of prayer. Lord, engage me with the spirit of prayer. Let the spirit of prayer be wired into my spiritual fabrics. Let it be wired into me eternally, the spirit of prayer. Say, Lord, wire into me the spirit of prayer. Can you raise a cry to God tonight? Say, Lord, I need the spirit of prayer. I need the spirit of prayer. I know the dream we have. I know the dreams we have where we desire to do mighty things for God. But those things cannot be bettered. Those realities cannot be bettered until we labor in prayer. The child cannot come forth until the mother labors to bring forth the child. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. This must be that travailing generation that will travail in prayer. That we travail more in prayer than they travail in pleasure. We need to cry to God tonight, wherever you are, hearing the sound of my voice. Lift up a cry to God and say, Lord, here am I. I desire to be used by you. I want to be a man. I want to be a woman whom you will use mightily. Oh God, here am I. Baptize me with the spirit of prayer. Baptize me with prayer fire. Prayer power. Prayer fire. Prayer power. Makatele matorabosikelanaha. Lift up your voice. Lift up a cry to God now. The Lord heareth you hitherto. The Lord heareth you. Say, Lord, baptize me with the spirit of prayer. Prayer fire. Let the garment of prayer be upon me. Let the oil of prayer fall upon my head. Marako sondolo mosizi shizinai kamena tosai. Tona katona katona limatona maskotoni matanda. That when the chronicles of men God used in generations to come will be mentioned, that my name will be even at the vanguard of the list, at the front of the list, that I will be a man God will use for generations, that I will be a man God will use not just in my generation, but in generations to come, that I will be instrumental for the end time revival, that I will be instrumental in the program of God. Go ahead, lift up a cry to God. Say, Lord, baptize me with the spirit of prayer. Baptize me with the spirit of prayer. Go ahead and raise a cry to God. Raise a cry to God. I leave you now to go and speak to God. I leave you now to go and commune with God. Ask him for that quotation of the spirit of prayer. asking for that clothing of the garment of prayer, asking for that clothing of the fire of prayer, asking for the anointing of the oil of prayer, and the God whom you seek, you will surely find. In the name of Jesus Christ.
God, through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.gagsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's army global, bringing the fullness of God to every man, and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.
Thank you.